Welcome to the ASReml tutorial, session 4.3, where we're looking at the process of prediction. Prediction is a thing that we might want to do after we've fitted a linear model and wanting to report the results that we have found, particularly in relation to fixed effects. So we would want to summarise maybe the treatment means, the response curve that might have been fitted by a spline. We might want to just highlight the characteristics of an interaction, form a table of slopes if there is interaction with a covariate. And in all of these things, we need to take a function of the effects that are in our model to achieve our particular purpose. Now, the way that prediction is implemented in ASReml provides for a wide range of prediction problems to be solved. And so we aren't just in the process of forming means, but there are a range of things that can be done and which need to be done in the context of mixed models. The details of all this are given in two papers. Sue Wellham has presented one paper and I've written a paper, and other contributors to the project include Bev Gogol, Brian Collison, Robin Thompson in particular. Well, the plan of our presentation here is to talk about the linear mixed model and how we actually undertake the prediction in ASReml. One of the key issues with prediction is whether the predicted values are reliable, and this is the concept of estimability. For there are some functions of the effects of our model which are not unique, in that if our model was solved in a slightly different order, then we would get a different solution, and they're called non-estimable functions. So we want to have estimable functions, and ASReml has a way of confirming that and reports effects, predictions that are not estimable. Also, we're used to thinking about prediction in terms of a fixed model, but the random effects in a model produce issues that need to be thought about and discussed. And then finally, we'll give some of the syntax of how to do this in ASReml. So let's just recap on the linear mixed model, where the observation is fitted with a linear model XTOR plus ZU plus E, where X is a design matrix for fixed effects TOR, Z is a design matrix for random effects U, and E is a vector of residuals. So that Y is distributed normally with mean XTOR and variance R plus ZG Z dash. And the random effects U are distributed normally naught G, and the random effects in the residuals are distributed normally naught R. So that's the usual assumptions associated with ReML. This leads us to the mixed model equations, which have this form, the cross product matrix for the designs plus the G inverse for the random portion, and on the right hand side the cross products with the observation. We can write that just in a brief notation as C beta equals W R to the minus 1 Y, where C is that 2 by 2 matrix on the left, beta is TOR and U, W is X and Z, R to the minus 1 and Y are already defined. That leads us to the solution for the effects in the model as beta hat equals C to the minus 1, W, R to the minus 1, Y. And when we form predicted values, we want to take some linear function of the betas, so pi, our predicted values, is some design matrix for our prediction times the effects in our model. And the variance for that is dc to the minus 1 d dash. So that gives us the predicted values, pi, and their variance. How are we going to calculate these things? Because ASReml doesn't in fact calculate all of C inverse. and that is integral in the calculation of tor and the variance of tor. Well, it turns out, of course, that we don't actually need the whole C inverse, and ASRemmel still doesn't calculate the whole of the C inverse. It does the calculations in this form. We write down the design matrix, and C itself is generally sparse, particularly the random effects part of it is sparse. So we expand the mixed model equations to form this matrix, which has the observation part in the first column. We have an extra design matrix for the predictions in the second column, and then the C matrix in the last column, and it's symmetric. Now, if we follow through the process in ASRemmel of absorbing the C matrix, never actually forming the inverse, but just sweeping it out, that gives us the result of implicitly C to the minus 1 into that portion which was originally 0 in our first matrix. In other words, we get the residual sum of squares in the first cell, we get minus the predicted values below that, and minus the variance of the predicted values in the lower diagonal point. Now, one of the implications of this is that this process needs to be followed through in the main processing loop of ASRemmel, but it is done in the last iteration. So, to undertake this absorption, ASRemmel does so in the context of a full iteration. What this usually means is that you will do your modelling, and then when you've worked out the model that you want to fit, then you'll think about what table you might want to predict, and then do an extra iteration using the final qualifier to start from the solution that you have, and the solution won't change, but to obtain the predicted values. Now, moving on to think about estimability, there are three aspects that affect estimability. The first one is that a mean is not estimable if there is no data. And I give the example here where we want to report from our data the height of males, the height of females, and the height of angels. Unfortunately, we don't have any information on the height of angels, so there is no way that we can get a prediction of the mean of that height because there is no information. Now, it frequently happens when a design matrix is set up in ASRemmel that there may be some levels of a fixed factor for which no data is included in that particular analysis. There might have been five treatments, but for a particular trait that you're analysing, you didn't measure all the data on all of the treatments. In fact, some treatments missed out completely, and so you cannot get a prediction of the mean for that variable for those treatments for which there is no data. And more subtly, you can't average over that factor in the case of a factorial type situation to get the means of another factor. The second issue is that typically the model that is fitted in ASRemmel for fixed effects is over-parameterized. So we fit a mean, just in the simplest case of a mean and treatments, we will fit a mean and we fit treatment effects. But there are in fact many different solutions which are all equally valid. One of those solutions says, well, we'll let the mean be 0 and the treatment effects 10, 12 and 14. This is sometimes called the means model. Or we might let alpha 1, the first treatment effect, be 0 so that mu takes a value of 10 and alpha 2 takes the value of 2 and alpha 3 takes the value of 4. This is sometimes called using corner point constraints. Or we might have a sum to zero constraint on our effects so that the mean comes in as 12, mu comes in as 12, and the effects are minus 2, 0 and 2. They sum to zero in this little example. The thing that is estimable is the means 10, 12 or 14. And each of those is defined as mu plus alpha I, and whichever parameterization is used, if you have mu plus alpha I, you come up with the numbers 10, 12 and 14. So that's what's estimable. But there are a whole host of values of mu and this parameterization, and alpha I and alpha infinite number, which can be used to satisfy. There needs to be just one constraint. One of those numbers can be set arbitrarily, and then the other three will be fixed. So that's the second form of non-estimability, trying to calculate, let's say you want an effect, you want the effect of treatment one, but it is not unique. It could be 10, it could be 0, it could be minus 2, depending on how the parameterization has been applied. So the effect of alpha 1 is not defined. Now, the other situation is that we fitted a model that over-parameterizes, in another sense, our data. And if we think of a two-way table, and in this table we have five columns and three rows and eight observations. But if we fit rows, we can fit three row means, but we cannot then fit another 4 degrees of freedom for columns, because one of those degrees of freedom has already been taken up with a row contrast, in that the separation between columns 3 and 4 divides our data in exactly the same way as a separation between rows 2 and 3. And so we can't estimate both differences, calling one a difference between the columns and another the difference between the rows, in the same analysis. So that affects our estimability also. So if we're averaging over tables, and the basic principle of prediction is that you form a table and then get marginal means from it. You may in fact report the whole table, or you may report means from that table. There is no problem averaging over rows of a table if the table itself is completely estimable. If you can estimate validly every cell in that table, even if some of them don't have any data, if under the model you have an estimable prediction of its value, then you can average over that table without a problem. Now, that estimability may be that the interaction is omitted from the model, or the interaction is fitted as a random effect so that it's not coming into the fixed part to create problems with holes in the table or non-estimable cells in the two-way table. Sometimes, however, it makes sense only to average over cells that contain data. And a particular example of that is when you've got a nested factor. If you have sites nested within regions, for example, it doesn't make sense to add site effects that belong to one region to regional effects for a different region. You need to average over those sites that pertain to the particular regions and not across all regions. The other table is you might have a variety by year, by location table, and to form a variety table, averaging over the experiments, but there isn't an experiment in every year location combination. Some locations missed out in some years, and it might make sense to form a table which is just averaging variety over the year location that actually occurred, rather than predicting the combinations that didn't occur and trying to average over those as well. So there are different aims that you might have in presenting your table, but you need to think about how you're going to handle incomplete tables. ASREML, in the process of the absorption, handles the situation of non-estimability. Here we have the last six rows of a 7x7 matrix, which is, or the result in doing prediction in ASREML, pertains to a case where we have three treatments defined in our model, but in fact only two of them have data. So the first column, the first element that isn't reported here, is the residual sum of squares. The y dash r to the minus one y element isn't presented here. So the first row has two elements. In fact, in this matrix, in the initial state, the first three rows are all zero, because that's the way that matrix was defined. And then in the first column, the 25, 0, 30, are the totals pertaining to the three treatments. And treatment one, there were five observations we see from the diagonal with a total of 25. Treatment two, there were no observations with a total of zero. Treatment three, there were five observations and a total of 30. So the first column is the cross products of the design matrix with the observations, and the final 3x3, the diagonal matrix 505, is the design matrix. In the middle, between those two things, in the last three rows, we have the design matrix. We want to predict, and we're going to attempt to predict, the mean for each of these three treatments. So we undertake the absorption process, starting at the bottom, and when we absorb the bottom row, then we create the third row, the intersection row. And the absorption process means taking 0 minus 30 on 5. And the diagonal row becomes 1 divided by 5, and that's subtracted off. So that gives us minus 30 on 5 and minus a fifth on the diagonal. Forming the second row involves forming an element which is minus 1 divided by 0, which of course can't be done, you can't divide by 0, and so that row becomes non-estimable. And then the first row is 25 times 1 divided by 5, and 1 times 1 divided by 5, so it is estimable. So that leads us to the conclusion that only the first and the third predictions are estimable, but the second is not. Now, what about random effects in our prediction? Usually in prediction, the residual term is ignored, but in the Krieging process, we might in fact want to predict the random effects at some other point in the spatial process. That's called Krieging. That kind of prediction can't be performed in the predict statement, and the usual way of doing that kind of prediction will be through generating extra data points at the points that you want to predict. In general though, the other random terms, they might be error terms or they might be treatment terms. In other words, they might be block effects, or they could be variety effects where varieties are treated as random. ASREML can't predict by itself which of these pertains, so you must decide whether to include the random effects or exclude the random effects in the prediction. And if you average over them, that's a conditional prediction, or if you ignore them, that's a marginal prediction. Now, averaging over them lowers the standard error because you have an average that pertains to that particular set of random effects. If you don't average over them, then you have a prediction that pertains to the whole population in which the particular random effects are just a random sample. So we move on to specification. The mixed model consists of model terms derived from factors and covariates. And we need to partition these into three sets. The classify set, which defines the table that we want predicted. the averaging set, which defines the things that need to be averaged over. These are usually fixed effects, but they can be random effects. And the ignored set, which are usually random terms that are ignored. So the first process is to classify the elements that form the model into these three sets. And then we need to specify the levels for the classify set and sometimes for the averaging set for the prediction to take place. So we might choose to average over particular levels of factors that are in the averaging set. We may choose to predict just particular levels of the classify set. In other words, you may have effects in your analysis for male and female, but you might just want to predict for the females, ignoring the males for the purpose of that particular prediction. The next question to consider is whether you want to average over the whole table or only over cells of the table which have data in them. And the next issue to consider is whether you want to use all of the model terms or whether you want to ignore some of the model terms. Typically, they would be random terms that you would ignore, but for certain kinds of prediction, you may want to ignore more than that. And finally, there may be some non-estimable predictions that you're forming. If there are some, do you want to print them or not? We have here a set of data which is on the CD for you to look at, some growth of five orange trees over a number of years. And we see that the trees didn't all grow at the same rate. They started off small and they grew. And there are some wobbles in the curve. And that's because the measurements were not actually taken at the same time of the year each year. They were taken some in spring, some in autumn. And the growth of oranges is not in fact constant over the year, but it changes with season. And so that has meant that the growth curve is not as smooth as one might think. Now, when we fit the model, though, we can adjust for the season of measurement so that we get a smooth curve, and this is shown in the next figure, where we fitted a model which includes season, in other words, with the measurement taken in spring or autumn. We have the covariate day on the x-axis. We have five trees. Each tree has its own slope, and split day gives the overall common shape, ignoring the seasonal effects for the curves. And so that gives us this set of five prediction curves. So where we end up? Well, the conclusion A, the first part of this presentation, is that we want to predict from a linear model. It's the process is important for reporting our results. The user needs to be advised if his predictions are not valid, they're not estimable. The algorithm needs to be able to handle large and complex models and a large number of prediction effects. And we need control over how to handle random terms. So this leads us to the predict directive in OSFREMEL. It's a line that begins with the word predict, and we will talk about where it goes in the job and some of the qualifiers that apply to it. The basic syntax for the predict statement is the word predict, beginning in column 1 of a line, and this line must, well, normally occurs immediately after the model line, but it may also occur at the end of the job after the variant structure lines. And it consists of a list of factors which define the classify set, and that becomes the minimal predict statement. Then there are various qualifiers, and included in those qualifiers is exclamation mark present, and list the present set, that is those factors for which we want to do the prediction only if there's data present, the average set, and maybe some weights to use for averaging, so that if for this particular prediction we want to average over a factor, but we don't have data on one level of the factor, then we would use the weights to say we want to ignore that level of the factor for which there is no information, or we might have some other reason for doing the weights. So each factor name in the classify and present set may be followed by a list of actual values to predict. So we could say predict sex 1, and that will just predict the sex that's coded 1 rather than predicting both sexes. As we mentioned, this statement goes either after the model line for the variance header line or after all of the RNG structure lines. Now, the way ASVML handles this is that it parses the predict statement as it reads in the data. Before the first iteration, it forms the design matrix, but it doesn't actually do the prediction until the last iteration. Operationally, we can have a conceptual hypertable, which is defined from all the factors in the model, ignoring those that are in the ignore set, so that in this particular example we might have factors breed, year, animal and sex. If we are ignoring animal, then the hypertable would consist of breed, year and sex. The next step is to work out which of these we want to average over, and we might simply want a breed by sex table averaging over year. So classify set would be breed and sex. The ignore set now is animal, and the average set is year. Or another example, fitting the model mean, variety, block, and the predict statement says predict variety. Block is ignored, it is a random term in the model. Now there's various other controls that we have in place. The parallel ABC says the levels of factors are to be expanded in parallel rather than across classification. If you say predict breed and sex, then by default you will get a breed sex table. But if you wanted to predict breed 1 sex 1 and breed 2 sex 2, then you would say parallel breed and sex, and you'd say predict breed 1 2, predict sex 1 2, parallel breed sex, and then you would have just two predictions, breed 1 sex 1 and breed 2 sex 2. So that's how parallel works. One of the things that is important is that to get the design matrix right, and if you're using a pole function or a split function, which has a very complicated design structure for each level, and ASVML works those out early in the process, you want ASVML to have those coefficients available for the predict levels as well as those who are actually used in the analysis. And so this means that we would use the p-points and p-vals qualifiers back before the model, so that when the design matrix is set up, it also includes the appropriate points to do the predictions. We specify the prediction points with a p-vals list so that those particular prediction points can be predicted when we get to the predict statement. We can specify particular levels of the classifier. Predict breed sex 1, we'll just predict the breed for the first sex. There's fine control about which model terms to use or to ignore, and there's four alternatives here. Use, and then a list of model terms, that's terms that are explicitly specified in the model, results in ASVML adding those listed terms to the terms it would by default use. Whereas if you say only use, then it only uses the model terms that are listed. And on the other side, ignore would remove the nominated model term from the default prediction set, and accept model terms means that you use all terms except the ones that are listed. And then further control is the print all statement, which tells ASReml to print the non-estimable functions as well. They'll be distinguished with an asterisk, but you can look and see what they are if ASReml isn't printing anything in a predict statement. But normally it makes more sense to work out why it is that ASReml can't do the prediction, and sometimes that can be quite tricky, can be quite subtle as to why a particular predicted value is not estimable. We can get the SEDs or the variance of the predicted values. Now, if there are a large number of predicted values, then these matrices will be quite large, and so you may need extra memory, or you may not be able to form that table at all because it is too big. So by default, ASReml just reports an average SED for a table rather than calculating the whole table. If the analysis is done on a transform scale, then ASReml will automatically back transform it. That's if it knows about the transformation, but if you've done the transformation yourself in some form, then you can specifically request certain back transformations. And there's another option, fit margin, which is specifically designed for when you predict a two-way table, which maybe has some holes in it, and you also want to get the marginal table from that. Now, we mentioned before that the prediction is done in the final run, and the qualifier exclamation mark final, which goes either on the top command line or as an option on the command line with the letter F, means that ASReml will read the solution from its most recent run and do one more iteration in which it will undertake the prediction process. So prediction is a complicated issue. For simple problems it's straightforward, but in real problems it can be quite complicated and challenging to get predictions that work. But this procedure has been running now for several years and is a very important part of using mixed models.